Light in this present darkness. This is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, we have been studying this week on Abounding Grace this amazing parable of the wicked vine dressers. And one more time, I'm going to read that. Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to the vine dressers and went into a far country. Now when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." When the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance." So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? They said to him, "He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons." And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? In the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." Now, when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. Now, this, as we looked at this week, is the sad history represented here of Israel. Jesus walks into Jerusalem. On the way, of course, he comes to Jerusalem, cleanses the temple. The next day, he curses the fig tree. Both were symbolic answers and actions against national Israel, against what they had done to the temple and his father's house. And then, of course, to show what the consequences of rejection will be. Jesus curses them because he finds no fruit, and he says, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." And then he concludes by telling this parable here of the parable of the wicked vine dressers, who, as we looked at yesterday, represent Israel, who, when the Lord came to find fruit, he found no fruit. And what did they do to those whom the Lord sent, the prophets, throughout the Old Testament? They beat one, they stoned one, and they killed another. That's the long history of Israel persecuting the prophets. And then finally Jesus came, and they rejected him. And that is where we really left off yesterday, where here we look at this great statement. "Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it." Jesus says, "I'm done on this national level, and I'm going to take that from national Israel and give it to a nation that would bear the fruits of it. It will bear the fruits that Israel should have bore." Well, who is that nation? Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." This is the same language, my friends, of Exodus used of speaking of Israel. He's speaking now to Gentiles. "His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light." You are that holy nation, and it's no longer a physical temple that we're looking for. Ephesians puts it all in spiritual terms. "You were once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And he says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances." Listen, "so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace." Who are the two? Jew and Greek. And he's made them one. And now he's made peace, right? And then he puts it in spiritual terms. He says, "having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building," that's you, "being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built up for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Did you hear what he said? It's a spiritual temple. You are these living stones. So this is what the Lord is saying here. He's taking it and giving it to a nation that will bear the fruit. Those distinctions of national terms are done with. It's not a blood, John 1, anymore. It's done with all of that. It is by faith, Galatians says, that we are all sons of Abraham, as Ephesians 3 says, obtaining the same promises. The same promises. Jesus said in Matthew 8, "I say to you, many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Look, that is the warning. Israel today is a warning of where unbelief will land you. Jesus says the other thing that's going to happen here, and we'll close with this today. In verse 44, "and on whomever falls on this stone will be broken into pieces, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." Who's the stone? It's Christ. What's he saying? The word is fascinating. Pipto means to fall upon. It means to have an erected, a higher position and fall from that higher place upon something. So in other words, if you set yourself against Jesus Christ to fall upon him, as we're seeing with Israel here, to contend against him, you will be broken. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. A life of taking your seat above Jesus Christ means you're trying to fall upon him. The word here says you will be shattered into pieces. I pray it's with a broken and a contrite heart in the day of mercy. But he says, "and on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. He will crush you into bits. So on judgment day, when he comes, he will descend from his high throne and eternally grind you into powder." Boy, I weep saying that. I feel the pain saying that. It's easy, you know, to feel good about all this and think, well, all that applies only to Israel. That's not what Jesus is ultimately doing here. He wants every hearer who's listening today to think about what is their relationship to Jesus Christ and what they're doing with him. The Bible presents us two things about the nation of Israel. Number one, they show us what being under the law looks like and the result of that. It produces a barren, fruitless, cursed religion full of hypocrisy that will result in judgment because it doesn't have a mediator. It doesn't have Jesus. It has rejected the stone. And that's why Paul said all of these Old Testament examples, all of the life of Israel is for us an example. Remember 1 Corinthians 10? "Now all of these things happened unto them," national Israel, "for examples. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. Therefore, whoever thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall." You see, what happened right after Jesus' teaching here? It angered them so much so that we read when the chief priests and the Pharisees, these are the religious leaders of the Jews, heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. So you come to this and you ask, why is it here? We have to turn the parable to us, my friends. Has he not built us and planted us in our lands? Has he not fenced us in and hedged us in? Does he not care for us? Has he not built a tower in our midst? Has he not, from the beginning of your day, sent you servants and pastors to preach the word of God? What has he not done for you in this vineyard of his kingdom? The Apostle Paul says, though, not all have faith. And that's the basic question of application in this parable. What sort of fruit is he finding in his kingdom in you? And what are you doing with his servants and his message? What are you doing with the Son? That's why Jesus said, if some don't receive your message, you know, what does he say? They've rejected me. So if you reject the landowner's Son, if you reject Jesus Christ, if you're a listener today who's rejecting Jesus, here's the question from the mouth of Jesus he wants you to answer. What should the landowner, what should the owner of this kingdom and this world do when he comes again? You see, we're no better than national Israel. That's the truth. I'm no better. I've not been more faithful. I have perfectly, and we look at this, we look at the whole truth of the fallen nature of man. We have all perfectly hated God and his Son. The driving point of the parable is for us to see this for what it is, the reality of all mankind and how foolish it is to reject Jesus Christ and his claims over your life. This was the truth, my friends, at Pentecost that caused mass conversion. Peter stands up in the sermon at Pentecost. What does he say? And even in the time that followed, Acts 2:23, him, talking about Jesus, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you've taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. You did that to him, he says, but the stone which was rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, now he puts it in universal terms, all of us did that, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That is the message. Christianity is extremely exclusive and narrow. Jesus is the only way anyone can be saved. So what's the antidote to a barren life? What's the antidote to a life that's cursed? What's the antidote to a life that will be crushed? Psalm 2, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are those who put their trust in him. That's the antidote. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the antidote to a barren religion? It's Jesus. Call upon him and he will restore you. That's the promise of Psalm 80. The Psalm 80 is about the restoration of Israel. Well, that restoration comes to whomever believes and confesses. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine and we shall be saved. How has that come? Surely, I say to you, says Jesus, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. If you have faith and are not uncertain about Jesus, are not against him, but trust in him as your Savior and your Lord, you are opened to the very power of God to save your soul. Ensure that Christ is your all in all, and that you have humbled yourself, asking that you would bear much fruit for his kingdom and for the glory of his name. So, dear friend, have you believed in Jesus or have you rejected him? It's the most important question of your life. Come to him so that you may know his life. Abounding Grace Radio was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com or give us a call, 360-318-0429. We would love to hear from you. Again, thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.